Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most important and genuinely fascinating topics in your OCR GCSE Religious Studies course, sources of authority. Whether you're studying Christianity, Islam, or Judaism, this topic runs through almost everything you'll be asked about in the exam. And here's the thing, it's also one of the topics where students can really pull ahead of the pack if they know exactly what examiners are looking for. So settle in, grab a pen, and let's get into it. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to name and explain the key sources of authority across the three major world religions, you'll understand the crucial differences between denominations, and you'll have a toolkit of exam techniques that will help you access those higher mark bands. We'll also do a quickfire quiz at the end, so stay with me all the way through. So, what do we actually mean by a source of authority? Simply put, it's anything that a religious community looks to for guidance on how to live, what to believe, and how to make moral decisions. Think of it like a hierarchy. At the top, you have God or divine revelation, and then below that, you have texts, leaders, traditions, and finally, personal conscience. Different religious groups place different sources at different levels of that hierarchy, and that's exactly what makes this topic so rich. Let's start with Christianity. The most fundamental source of authority for Christians is the Bible. But here's where it gets interesting, and where a lot of students lose marks. Not all Christians treat the Bible in the same way. Fundamentalist or evangelical Christians, particularly in some Protestant traditions, believe the Bible is the literal, inerrant Word of God. Every word is directly from God and must be followed exactly. This is sometimes called biblical literalism or biblical inerrancy. Liberal Christians, on the other hand, believe the Bible was inspired by God, but written by human beings in specific historical contexts. This means they interpret it more flexibly, applying its principles to modern life rather than following every word literally. This distinction between the Word of God and inspired by God is absolutely crucial for your exam. Examiners will credit you specifically for making this distinction. Now, for Roman Catholics, the Bible doesn't stand alone. Catholics also give enormous weight to church tradition and the magisterium. The magisterium is the official teaching authority of the Catholic Church, led by the Pope and the bishops. When the Pope speaks officially on matters of faith and morals, what's called speaking ex cathedra, meaning from the chair, Catholics believe this is infallible, meaning it cannot be wrong. This authority is traced back through apostolic succession, the idea that the Pope and bishops are the direct spiritual descendants of Jesus' apostles, particularly St. Peter. Protestant Christians, especially those in the Reformed tradition, hold to a principle called sola scriptura, a Latin phrase meaning scripture alone. This was a key idea of the 16th century Reformation, championed by figures like Martin Luther and John Calvin. For these Christians, the Bible is the only ultimate authority, and no church leader or tradition can override it. Now let's move to Islam. For Muslims, the primary source of authority is the Quran, believed to be the direct, literal word of Allah, revealed to the Prophet Muhammad through the angel Jibril over approximately 23 years, beginning in 16 CE. Unlike the Christian debate about literal versus liberal interpretation, Sunni Muslims generally hold that the Quran is the unchanged, perfect word of God. But the Quran doesn't cover every situation in life. That's where the Sunnah and Hadith come in. The Sunnah refers to the example and practices of the Prophet Muhammad, how he lived, what he said, and what he approved of. The Hadith are the recorded sayings and actions of Muhammad, collected and verified by scholars after his death. Together, these form the second most important source of authority in Islam. For Sunni Muslims, there are also two further sources. Aima, which means scholarly consensus, when Islamic scholars agree on a ruling, and Qiyas, which is reasoning by analogy, applying known rulings to new situations. These four sources together form what's known as the Usul al-Fiqh, or roots of Islamic law. In Shia Islam, the role of the Imam is particularly significant. Shia Muslims believe that the Imam, a direct descendant of the Prophet Muhammad, has a special God-given authority to interpret the Quran and guide the community. This is a key difference between Sunni and Shia Islam that examiners love to test. A fatwa is a formal legal ruling or opinion issued by a qualified Islamic scholar called a mufti. It's important to note that a fatwa is not binding on all Muslims. It's a scholarly opinion, not a law. Students often misrepresent this in exams, so make sure you're precise. Now, Judaism. The Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, is the foundational source of authority in Judaism. Orthodox Jews believe the Torah was given directly by God to Moses at Mount Sinai and is therefore absolutely binding. Reform Jews, however, believe the Torah was divinely inspired but written by humans, and therefore some commandments can be reinterpreted for modern life. Alongside the Torah, the Talmud is enormously important. The Talmud is a vast collection of rabbinic discussions, debates, and interpretations of Jewish law compiled over centuries. It contains the Mishnah, the oral law, and the Gemara, rabbinic commentary on the Mishnah. For many Jews, the Talmud is the key to understanding how to apply the Torah in daily life. The rabbi plays a central role as a teacher and interpreter of Jewish law. Unlike a Christian priest or Muslim imam, a rabbi is not a priest. They don't perform sacrifices or mediate between God and humans. Their authority comes from their learning and their ability to interpret the texts. Right, let's talk exam technique, because this is where marks are won and lost. First, never refer to Christians or Muslims as if they all believe the same thing. Examiners are specifically looking for denominational awareness, say Catholic Christians or Protestant Christians or Sunni Muslims or Shia Muslims. This alone can push you from a level 2 to a level 3 response. Second, use precise terminology. Don't just say, the church says so. Say the magisterium, the official teaching authority of the Catholic Church, holds that. Don't just say Islamic tradition. Say the Sunnah and Hadith provide guidance on. Specific terminology accesses higher mark bands. Third, for the 15-mark discuss question, you must reach a justified conclusion. This is the most common reason students lose marks on the longer question. A conclusion that says, both sides have valid points, is not a conclusion. It's a fence sit. You need to weigh the arguments and make a judgment. For example, overall, I would argue that sacred texts remain the most authoritative source because even where religious leaders have authority, that authority is ultimately derived from and tested against scripture. Fourth, remember the AO1 and AO2 split? This specification is 50% knowledge and 50% evaluation. For every point you make about what a religion believes, you should also be evaluating whether that source of authority is convincing, relevant, or problematic in the modern world. Fifth, on quotations. You don't need to memorize long passages. Short, versatile quotes work brilliantly. For example, all scripture is God-breathed, from 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, is perfect for discussing biblical authority. We have sent down to you the book from the Quran, Surah 16 hours, 89 minutes, works for Islamic textual authority. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask the question, pause the audio, and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What Latin phrase means scripture alone and is associated with Protestant Christianity? The answer is sola scriptura. Question 2. What is the name of the official teaching authority of the Catholic Church? The Magisterium. Question 3. What are the two main branches of Islam and how do they differ in their view of the Imam? Sunni and Shia. Shia Muslims believe the Imam has a special God-given authority as a descendant of the Prophet. Sunni Muslims do not hold this view. Question 4. What is the Talmud? A vast collection of rabbinic discussions and interpretations of Jewish law containing the Mishnah and the Gemara. Question 5. What is the difference between the Quran and the Hadith? The Quran is the direct word of Allah. The Hadith are the recorded sayings and actions of the Prophet Muhammad. Let's bring it all together. Sources of authority is really about one central question. Where does religious guidance come from, and who gets to interpret it? The answer varies enormously across and within religions. And that diversity is exactly what examiners want you to demonstrate. Remember the key distinctions? Literal versus liberal interpretation of sacred texts, the role of the magisterium in apostolic succession in Catholicism versus sola scriptura in Protestantism, the four sources of Islamic law, and the difference between Orthodox and Reform Judaism on the authority of the Torah. Use precise terminology, acknowledge denominational diversity, and always reach a justified conclusion in your longer answers. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck!